Blog Talk Radio.
I've got a rocket in my pocket and a roll in my wall. Oh, baby, don't fuss me with a North 40 tone. There ain't nothing you can tell me I don't already know. I got a rocket in my pocket and I'm ready to go. I got a rocket in my pocket and the fuse is lit.
Depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street. There's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Are we there yet? We got to be getting close. Oh, we have to be getting close. James Bostic with the Conservative's Perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. It's good to be here with you once again. We do it live Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and the occasional show shows up on a Friday or a Wednesday or a Saturday. It just goes that way sometimes. It's hard to tell. We also have a recorded version of the program that goes out over the the Mojo 5.0 Radio Network. This is Patriot Nation. Mojo50radio.com. If you aren't listening, no kidding. This is kind of like the catchphrase I usually really should be. It is the very best and libertarian and conservative talk radio out there. As always, ACP proud and a little humbled to be moving through that rarefied air. Well, what in the wide, wide world of sports has been going on? A lot of stuff, as you can see. First thing, I hate how this crap happens. I thought I had uploaded it, but clearly I have not. And I'm trying to upload it now, and I don't know if it's going to work because multitasking is not something that is, it's not Blog Talk's long suit. I swear to God, I thought I did that. But anyway, and hopefully it'll show up here in a second. There was a woman, we know all the insanity that's going on in that, last week, the Degrassi Junior High School student government took over six blocks in Seattle, or wherever the hell it is. Yeah, I think it's Seattle. And they declared it, at first it was called Chaz. Yeah. And the first thing I thought of was Chaz Bono. I know, but somehow in a way it kind of seems somewhat representative. However, that stood for the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. And I suppose they, although hadn't enacted or drawn up any articles of secession, by vox populi, I suppose they moved to stand apart from the Republic. And this was not a place where U.S. law was going to be recognized. Now, let's understand what the hell we're talking about here, people, and I don't want to make any mistakes. I don't want anybody to... There are businesses and citizens, residents of that area, that are being freaking held hostage. Do you understand me? They are prisoners. They don't dare leave their businesses or their residences because the fear is great, and understandably so, that their things will be stolen from them, that their businesses will be looted and destroyed. Anybody said that on Fox News? Has anybody said that anywhere besides here with me comfortably ensconced in the captain's chair? No, I don't think they have, but that's something that we need to think about. Police are not able to respond in this area. Well, they've changed the name now. It went from Chaz to CHOP, the Capitol Hill Occupation Penguins. I don't know. But it doesn't matter because it's just another dumbass self-insistent name. These people are being held prisoner. American citizens are being held prisoner. But like I said, the Degrassi Junior High School student government body, the student government. There are people who are armed inside this encampment, this place. The police can't respond. Robberies are occurring. The police can't get in there. Rapes are occurring. Police can't get in there. What is the idiot mayor or the even more idiotic governor of Washington State doing about this? Has anybody told Governor Inslee yet? Jay for Jackwagon. Governor Jackwagon Inslee. Has anyone told him this? The last time that somebody mentioned this to him, he was worse than Barack Obama. At least Barack Obama found out about crap on the news. You remember that? He always found out about, Well, what is this? Do you have any comments to make about the IRS targeting Tea Party groups, Mr. President? No, you know, just like the rest of you guys, just found out about that on the news the other day. That's something, isn't it? Wow. I mean, Inslee didn't even damn know. What? They rioters have taken over 6 city blocks in Seattle, Washington. News to me. Some of the things that these idiot governors, male and female, all of them, Inslee is a good example, Half Whitmer, Nipples, Murphy, any of these clowns. Oh, by the way, just in case anybody had forgot or it might have slipped their minds, Nipples Cuomo is responsible for the death of more than 5,000 of his constituency in his horrid mishandling of the alleged coronavirus pandemic. More than 5,000. It was done at his edict. I don't care who he blames. We've seen the paperwork. We have it. They deleted it from the website, but we have copies. But all these governors, they remind me of the governor in, what was his name? Governor LePetitmaine in Blazing Saddles. All because they're just corrupt, they're inept, they're dumber than hell. And news to me. Geez, well, what do we need to do about that? I better call the mayor and see what's going on down there. Oh, God. And while we're on the ridiculous, got some news from the, speaking of the pandemic, it would appear that totally reliable experts now predict the virus that is curtailed by the mass protests will start to spread again if Donald Trump holds rallies. Scientific experts from the Union of Scientific Experts, who are totally reliable this time, are expressing concern that the spread of the Chinese virus, which had been brought to a standstill by radical left protests, may begin again if Donald Trump starts holding rallies. The Union spokesman, Dr. Seymour Mendacious, who has a PhD in amazingly accurate predictions, has said that computer models from the Absolutely Believable Computer Model Corporation are predicting with amazing accuracy that if Trump holds rallies, the virus could suddenly spread to totally innocent people at utterly peaceful riots and may even cause them to drop the TV they were heroically rescuing from the burning electronics store. At the press conference made from behind the podium manufactured by the extremely serious-looking podium company, Dr. Mendacious produced the computer models from the Absolutely Believable Computer Model Company and told journalists from the Completely Honest News Network, or CHNN, the spread could be worsened by the virus's systemic racism. Dr. Mendacious said, "We at the Union of Scientific Experts, who are totally reliable this time, would like to tell you of the Completely Honest News Network that this is a particularly nasty disease in the way it virulently spreads from irresponsible gatherings of Trump supporters to strike down people performing essential tasks like gathering en masse to blame the police for things. And what's more, the disease harms mostly women because they're the ones who must mourn their husbands and fathers while the men have been put out of their misery by a slow and painful death." Dr. Mendacious went on to say, "Seeing as the computer models from the Absolutely Believable Computer Model Company are absolutely believable, we're recommending that every business in the entire galaxy be shut down until the economy is so bad people vote for Democrats out of sheer hunger-driven stupidity, or until I get my medical degree, whichever comes first." No, I'm not making it up. You heard it right there. You heard it. Oh. What a day. Let's see what else is happening here. Oh, gosh. I'm not exactly sure where to go with this next. I got all worked up over that. But the pandemic, boy, I just totally forgot about that. It's completely gone. Until Trump starts having rallies. By the way, the next rally that's coming up is in Oklahoma. I think it's Oklahoma. And there's room for maybe 200,000, maybe 250,000. And over a million people have signed up requesting, wanting to go, a million people wanting to go to this thing. It would appear that I am still having some microphone troubles. I'm listening here on the monitor, and I'm getting a little weird stuff. What I'm going to do, we're going to take a quick break. I'm going to go ahead and play something, and I'm going to give me, it's going to give me time to get the computer started back up and logged back in, and we'll see if we can do any better with this. Sounds like I'm on lewds, but I'm not. And we're going to get it fixed here in just a second. This is Conservative's Perspective here, Patriot Nation Radio Network. We'll be back here in just a few minutes.
When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate the governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes, and accordingly, all experience hath shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having a direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained, and when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing, with manly firmness, his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such dissolutions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise. The state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migration thither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. He has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation. For quartering large bodies of troops among us. For protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states. For cutting off our trade with all parts of the world. For imposing taxes on us without our consent. For depriving us in many cases of the benefits of trial by jury. For transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses. For abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government, and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies. For taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments. For suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is at this time transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous of ages, and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country and to become the executioners of their friends and brethren or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers the merciless Indian savages whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them from time to time of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We've reminded them of the circumstances of our immigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them by the ties of our common kindred to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consanguinity. We must therefore acquiesce in the necessity which denounces our separation and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states they have the full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Sound any better or not, but we restarted. Sometimes what happens, I don't know about you guys, but I love hearing me read that. I'm not going to make any apologies for it. I'm a stark raving egomaniac. Anybody that knows me knows that's the truth, and I've made my peace with it that you guys would have to deal with it. I do, and but I'm looking at that now, and I'm listening to that, and I have read since that time, and I did that a few years ago. I have read the Declaration a number of times since, because it has been my intention, and I haven't done it yet, but I think this 4th of July will be the year that we do. When I did that, I knew absolutely nothing, zip, zero, nada, zilch, about recording anything. And I kind of stumbled and found it, and for a monaural recording, I suppose it's pretty cool. But I'm going to have to go back and put that in stereo. And the thing about it is, as I have read the Declaration since then, and it's a creditable job. I read it. I rehearsed that a couple of days when I read it. Then at the time, I thought I was satisfied with it. But in retrospect, I can do a much better job, and I will. But that was a long time ago, and. For very rustic, rudimentary work, though, it still has legs to a certain extent, I think. And we're back, by the way. Where were we? What the hell was that? Oh, yeah, I remember now. Oh, and by the way, Betty showed up. Betty, this woman's name, this was the clip I was referring to at the beginning of the program. The woman's name is Beverly Beatty. And she's a black conservative woman who went into the devil's den. She went into the lion's mouth, the belly of the beast. She was there, and this is a video clip of Ms. Beatty confronting some of the Antifa, BLM, OWS. I guess OWS people still around in splinter groups. They kind of went, with all these other nutbag groups. But she's there. She lays it out for him. This is terrific stuff. And the video is, the video is pretty cool, I guess. It's worth it to see the realization by this liberal white woman that she's completely talking out of school and has no clue as to what's going on. And there's a little bit of embarrassment as Miss Beatty sets her straight. 2 minutes. Awesome stuff. Here we go.
I would be insane to be shooting, so I'm not even mad at you, baby.
I don't want to get any news because it's all fake news.
This is the thing. I know people don't like Trump. I understand that. But let me tell you something. If I had to pick between him and Joe Biden, I'm not voting in Joe Biden. You want to see a bunch of black people go to jail by the next 4 years? Put Joe Biden in. Watch what happens. You want to see black men get killed substantially? Like you've never seen before, put Joe Biden in and watch what happens. These Democrats, and I'm sorry to say this, I'm not trying to be racist, but they hate black people. These are the same people who fought to keep slavery in. These are the same people who built the KKK. These are the same people who hated us from the beginning. The Republican Party is the party of the blacks. Black free, the Republican Party is the only party that the black people actually assisted in finding. But all of that history has been torn away. People say, oh, there was a big switch. There was never a big switch. The union won because we had grown in the industrial era. So we were able to get trains and get supplies back to our soldiers while the Confederate was still riding horses. they were not able to get the supplies back fast enough, right? So what happened was once slavery was abolished in the South, the people in the South could no longer make their money from slaves. They had to move to the North to work in the industry to produce. And so the people in the North that already had established themselves in the industry moved to the South. And so that's where it was a transfer of people coming from the South to the North and people coming from the North to the South. There was never a big switch. So the same Democrats who hated black people from the beginning are the same ones who hate us now. And they use our cause. How did Black Lives Matter turn into something about LGBTQ when blacks really don't support that? We're conservative about that. We're really not about that. Not only that, we don't support abortion. We're about workers. This is the black culture. We ain't ever been about that. Not only that, we're not about feminism.
No, we're not.
Black women marry their husbands and respect their husbands. That's what we're on. We're not on this, oh, I do what I want. We don't do that. That's not our community, and you would understand. I know you understand what I'm saying. We don't do that. But yet these people are hijacking our movement and the Democratic Party. They're trying to hijack our stuff. No.
Yeah. Now, when she talks about the big switch, this is used by the left a lot. And the big switch, what she's talking about is after the Civil War, which, by the way, it was a Republican president who spent a rather large measure of American blood and American resources to free the slaves. Say what you want. There are a lot of different reasons for the war. But one unmistakable motivation for Lincoln was his idea that he held to, that no human being should own another human being. And at the end of the war, after the slaves were freed, a Democrat put a bullet in the back of his head for his troubles. But the big switch that they talk about was that at some time in the 1950s and the 1960s, because it was the Democrats that enacted Jim Crow, it was the Democrats that used the Klan as the military arm of their political party. It was the Democrats that were lynching blacks and whites in that 10 years after the Civil War and beyond. And the talking point, and I'm not even sure who established it, but the talking point was that somewhere along the line in the late 1940s, 1950s, all these racist Jim Crow Democrats became racist Jim Crow Republicans. And because of this switch, and the Republicans who saw these racist Jim Crow Democrats infiltrating their party, they said, "Nah, we can't deal with this. Yeah, no, we're out. We're going to the Democrat Party." And that all these good, tolerant Republicans became Democrats. Well, that's, you know what that is. There was a switch in and she's correct, in the migration, in terms of the migration. But it wasn't political ideology switch, and it wasn't Jim Crow Democrats. Jim Crow Democrats are still Jim Crow Democrats. Guarantee you that. That doesn't change. And she's absolutely right that, and I don't think their movement is the Black Lives Matter movement. What this woman's talking about, I guess that's probably the only thing she can identify it with, but I don't think it's that at all. What she's talking about are simple conservative principles. So really, she's probably more in line with the conservative movement than she is with any racially identified group. Not dead air, just getting a drink. At some point, the party is going to be over in terms of what's going on. The block party, as the mayor called it. Oh, God. I'm sorry. I'm just... In the last 4 years, well, 8 years, 12 years, maybe 16. In the last 12 years, I don't know about you cats, but I've been paying, you know, pretty tight attention to this. I have. It's my thing. It's my jam. It always was. Even before I started doing whatever this is. And in the last 12 years, I have seen over and over and over and over again glaring examples of two things: leftist ineptitude I'll be damned, I forgot what the second thing was. No, I'm just kidding. No, I did there for a minute. Leftist ineptitude and in one political failure after another, every, you know, all these major political gambits that they've unleashed against the president and therefore indirectly unleashed against you and I, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. Who said that? The trivia questionnaire. Who said that? Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America and all the ships at sea. Give you a hint. He was a horrible guy. Well, yeah, I said it just now, but I mean originally. I'm not talking about that. But us. So, and if you think about it, all the scandals and the attacks against the citizenry from the Obama administration, spying on Associated Press reporters, tapping James Rosen's phone, Spygate or Obamagate. Look what they did with the Trump campaign. And then, you know, and it failed. Okay? It failed. They had the resources of almost for all intents and purposes, since they had all the heads in their gang of conspirators. They had the resources of the entire intelligence community, foreign and domestic, in this country, trying to, number one, rig the election for Hillary, having failed that, to drive the president from office. For what? Well, they didn't like it that some bitch won. That's why. I mean, if we're going to call it, let's call it. They had everything lined up for their girl. And good times, we're going to be back in. And we're going to get another 4, maybe 8 years if we can keep the old battle axe alive. And she would have wound up in her second term like Joe Biden would have been, God forbid, in his first. And there would have been a proxy, and there would have been people behind the scenes. And, yeah, it would have been, you know. So all these assets in the intelligence community, and they failed. They failed spectacularly. They failed epically. Then this idiocy with old groundhog-looking guy, Vindman. Victor, I don't know what his first name is. We'll call him Victor. Victor Vindman, who said that he was listening in on the call with the president in Ukraine and lied. And so they in the impeachment, they go through all this. Then they go through articles of impeachment. Every time they try to raise a hand, and then I'll tell you also, I am a sinner and a heathen. No kidding. Of long standing. I'm trying to rehabilitate myself, and I know Gary Benford's in there trying to help me. But believe me, if I can see something like this and understand the possibility that these failures all these failures after failure after failure. You know, there might be a little bit of providence here. Yes, the Democrats are remarkably inept. Yes, they have, and they have failed. And like I said, they have failed epically so on every maneuver that they've tried to use to drive the president from office. Every attempt that they've made in their ongoing, I might add, their ongoing coup to try to usurp a sitting president, a democratically elected sitting president of the United States. Every single time they have failed. I mean, it's been like Pharaoh and Moses. I don't know what, it's just every time Pharaoh would raise his hand against Moses and Israel. I know, sinner and heathen, how do I know this stuff? Well, I've watched the Ten Commandments about a million times. It's one of my favorite pictures. So every time Pharaoh would strike against the Israelites, God was there. And God queered Pharaoh's pitch, man. He would shake him up and things would not go the way they were supposed to go, and it would come back and it would bite Pharaoh it would come back on Pharaoh. Maybe I'm wrong. And I could be, you know. But sometimes I see it that way. Because one thing as a sinner and heathen of long standing, one thing I do know about God is he will pick some unlikely cats to do the big jobs. Yeah, sometimes he dips into the cutout bin, the reject file, okay? And he comes up with somebody who hated Christians more than Saul of Tarsus. I know, sinner, heathen, and here I am. Gary's not listening right now. He's going to be listening later because he's doing a spot on another show. And he'll be hearing all this later. And I'll probably get a phone call later. But, you know, who hated Christians worse than Saul of Tarsus? But then Saul had his road to Damascus moment, and he was set aside to do great things. At cost. But so what? Moses did great things at cost. Everybody does great things at cost. They know that going into it. I think it was Barry Goldwater. It was either Barry Goldwater or Curtis LeMay, or one of those types, who said that the price of peace, constant vigilance. Now, what they were talking about at that time, the Cold War was raging all over the place, and they were talking about we had to keep an eye on communist countries. We had to keep an eye on Cuba. We had to keep an eye on the Soviet Socialist Republic, the People's Republic of China, and all their little satellites. But I would submit that we have to take it even further than that, because the realization is this, the reality is this, and people don't want to think about this reality. It is abhorrent to them. But here's the deal. Yes, we absolutely have to be mindful of the Russian bear. We also have to be mindful of the Chinese panda. Or dragon. But we must also be equally as mindful of our enemies domestic, and we have them. Don't make any mistake. These aren't people who love the country and speaking truth to power here. Okay, these guys are revolutionaries, and they're looking to foment communism here in the United States. And don't kid yourself. Don't think it's anything else. Our only saving grace is that right now there are a lot more people like you and I and Beverly Beatty than there are this communist rabble. And they'll survive. They'll flourish for the summer. They will. The Democrats, you know, in these enclaves, they're there till November at the very least. And my guess is some of them are going to be there after November. Yes. Yes, because Democrats are that damn stupid. Some of these cats will be reelected. And that's worrisome. But it is what it is. And if we don't pay close attention to our domestic enemies, if we don't accord them the same vigilance, the same resolve as we do our foreign enemies, we're going to have trouble. We're going to have big trouble. A lot of these cities that are Democrat controlled are going to they're going to be wastelands, and they're not going to recover, I don't think. Feel a cough coming on? Hitting the mute button. Hang on. Okay. And here's where it gets tricky with these people like the student government there at Degrassi Junior High taking over that area in Seattle. It's a tricky situation. It really is. And I know a lot of people are probably and the first thing, well, by God, send the troops in. We'll tear gas them out. We'll club them. We'll rubber bullet them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that ordinarily I would say, hell yeah, let's do it. Let's cut off the water. Let's cut off the electricity. Let's cut off food. Let's set up a perimeter. Let's have sharpshooters out there keeping these guys, maybe not hitting them, but just keeping their heads down until it gets so tough on them that they start coming out, and we'll have this place where they can come through the barricade and turn themselves into the police. Okay, well, and that would be awesome. But again, there are families and business owners and men and women and children in there against their will. Innocent bystanders, citizens that wanted no part of this. They're being held hostage. So the president sends federal troops in. Okay. The fact of the matter is this. You may not, but the maxim is in operations of that size, you're going to have losses. Are you prepared for those losses? Now, as commander-in-chief, the president has to be prepared to commit these men knowing that they're going into harm's way, and yeah, they could get killed. As president of the United States, he has to bear in mind that there are American citizens within this area who fundamentally are being held hostage. Okay? Now, I'll give you these people aren't robbing and raping each other. Okay? The citizens there, the people who live there, the business owners and their families, and the people who live in that area, they're not robbing and raping each other. Okay? It's these bastards from Antifa, it's these communist revolutionary people that are in there drunk with power. The mayors and the governors of these states have failed. The mayors and the governors of these cities and these states where this is happening are the people that have put these events into motion through ineptitude, through inaction, through enabling, through complicity as well as duplicity. And what they don't understand is if this continues, the only thing that they come away with is the fact that they will be eaten by the alligator last after they've fed everyone else to it. It's not dead air. I'm still here. And whether we, you know, once upon a time, again, like I said, you know, the Klan was seen and was, it was used as the militant arm of the Democrat Party. There's no question about it. History documents it. While it's still around, that is, we have historical documentation of it. And at some point during the summer, my prediction is this. These people are going to suffer. They're going to suffer until things run out. And things have already started to run out. The autonomous state of Chaz on the second day had a food shortage and was sending notes out to their parents for more Cheezos and Hot Pockets. There are a limited number of resources in there. They're going to eat them all up. They're going to drink them all up. I don't know how long that's going to take. It may not take that long. And then what happens? They make more demands, and then what happens if these demands aren't met? And at some point, they won't be. At some point, it'll probably be impossible to meet them. Well, Democratic leadership at some point before the summer is over and before this gets any further out of hand, they're going to tell these people, throttle back. They're going to tell these people, knock it off. Now, what's going to be interesting is if the juice, the leadership of the Democrat Party is going to be able to do that. Are these people going to knock it off? I don't know. They may not. It depends on what happens at the convention. If they're even going to, they're supposed to be having their convention a week before, because they set it back with the pandemic, a week before the Republican convention, which was in Charlotte, but now I think everything's been moved to Florida. Jacksonville, I think. I'm not sure. If he really wanted to make those guys scream, Donald Trump should have offered Mar-a-Lago. They should have had the convention at Mar-a-Lago and gave everybody reduced rates on the rooms. That's what I would have done. But anyway, he picks his battles a lot better than I do. So, you know, they're out. And as I can see it now, the only thing the Democrats have to run on right now is race. And the racial division that they and they alone are fomenting. This is all on them. You don't see this stuff happening in Republican areas, in conservative areas, where you have black and whites, the conservative in their nature, just like Ms. Beatty here. This doesn't happen. This only happens in Democrat places. New York City, Democrat. New Jersey, Democrat. Pennsylvania, Democrat. Ohio, Democrat. Michigan Democrat, Illinois Democrat, Virginia Democrat, Colorado, California Democrat, Ohio Democrat, Colorado Democrat. It just doesn't have Republicans and conservatives. We just don't do this. All right. We just don't do this. And one of the reasons is, I think, because we understand that the country comes before party, that the Constitution comes before party. The Democrats would happily sacrifice this nation, and that means you and I indirectly at the altar of their ideology to stay in power. Wouldn't think twice about it. Cut this country's throat in a heartbeat. That's what it's trying to do now. But like a poor marksman, they keep missing the target. But they're not going to stop until the Democrat leadership tells, if the Democrat leadership has the strength to come. This is going to go on through the summer, guys. This is going to go on through the summer. And we're probably going to see this up until the time of the election, or not the election, but the Democrat convention, rather. And at the convention, it's probably going to be insanity. It's probably going to be Chicago 1968 on steroids. They used so much tear gas that the Chicago Police Department in 1968 used so much tear gas in downtown Chicago that it had seeped into the rooms on the 10th and 12th floors of hotels where the Democrat convention delegates were staying. This will probably eclipse that. I can't remember if anyone got killed. I'll have to check that out. But given how many people have been killed thus far in these organized riots, and that's what they are, I would say, you know, the possibility is very real that more people are going to get killed. There's going to be... collateral damage to Democrats. Well, we're at the top of the hour. We're going to take a little break musically. All this talking, quite frankly, makes a man thirsty, and I need a little bit of a break. So we will be back with more of Conservative Perspective right here on Patriot Nation Radio Network right after this.
In knee pain, my mama done told me, son.
What did she tell you?
A woman of sweet talk,
yes,
I'll give you the glad eye.
Uh-huh.
But when that sweet talk is done,
keep on a talking.
A woman to do faith, or worry something that'll leave you to sing the blues in the night.
Yeah.
Now the rains are falling here, the trees are calling. My mama done told me, hear that lonesome whistle blowing across the trestle. My mama done told me,
hey, a
clicking and clanking and echoing back the blues in the night. The evening breeze will start, the trees are crying out, the moon will lose its light. When you get the blues in the night, kind of song. He knows things are wrong, and he's right.
Yes, he's right.
From Natchez to Mobile, from Memphis to St. Joe,
wherever the four winds blow.
They go everywhere.
I done been in some big town.
Yeah.
Done heard me some big talk.
Ah.
But there is one thing I know.
Keep a-talking.
A woman's a two-face. A worrisome thing that'll leave you to sing the blues in the night.
Yes, a woman will leave you singing the blues.
That's right, boys. My mama was right, the blues in the night.
She was a red hot hoochie coocher. She was the roughest, toughest frail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a whale. A hidey, hidey, hidey,
hidey, hidey, hidey, hidey.
Him, though he was cocky. He took her down to Chinatown, and he showed her how to kick the gong around. A hide, a hide, a hide, a hide,
a hide, a hide, a hide.
About the King of Sweden. He gave her things that she was needing. He gave her a home built of gold and steel, a diamond car with the platinum wheels. Hadi, 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 hadi,
hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi,
hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi, hadi. He gave her his townhouse and his racing horses. Each meal she ate was a dozen courses. She had $1 million worth of nickels and dimes. She sat around and counted them all a million times. Hide, 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 hide,
hide, hide, hide, hide, hide.
Yeah. James Bostic back here with the Conservative's Perspective on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. We do it twice a week, live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Tuesdays and Thursdays. We have a recorded version of the program that goes out on Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, do yourself a favor. Very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio out there. Well, this just in, if I can find it, North Korea, in a somewhat questionable act of belligerence, has blown up a South Korean liaison office. I don't know if anybody got hurt here. South Korea said Tuesday, that's today, by the way, North Korea's military demolished an inter-Korean liaison office building just north of the tense Korean border. The building located in the North Korean border town of Kaesong was destroyed 2:49 local time. North Korea had threatened earlier to demolish the building, blaming the South's failure to stop activists from flying propaganda leaflets across the heavily militarized border. Some experts believe North Korea frustrated because Seoul is unable to resume joint economic projects because of U.S.-led sanctions. On Saturday night, Kim Yo-jong, influential sister of North Korea's leader, warned that Seoul will soon witness a tragic scene of the useless North-South liaison office being completely collapsed. She also said she would leave North Korea's military the right to take the next step of retaliation against Korea. She would leave? Interesting. I thought Kim Jong-un was calling the shots over there, but here it says she will leave it to North Korea's military the right to take the next step of retaliation. So they run everybody out of the South Korean office, and they blew it up. Nobody got hurt. Nobody got killed. It was a building that they probably owned anyway. Again, signifying some saber rattling. And be interesting to see what comes of that. Probably not much. Probably not much. Moving on. We talked about the totally reliable experts predicting the virus that was curtailed by the mass protests. Back to the virus. Back to the virus. The CDC, according to Jack Hellner, now says that they have proof that wearing face masks reduced COVID-19 cases in New York City by 66,000 people from April 17th to May 9th. Health experts have been advising people to wear face masks in public to prevent the spread of the China virus, and now numbers indicate that it works. A new study shows that wearing a face mask dramatically decreases a person's chances of being infected by the coronavirus. Researchers found that wearing a face mask alone reduced the number of COVID-19 infections by more than 66,000 in New York City from April 17th to May 9th. Okay. Here's my question. How do they know it was 66,000? What data did they use? What methodology did they employ in getting to that number? Yeah, exactly. Pretty much. There's no way that they would know this. And it is as made up as the modeling numbers that the CDC put out in March that showed that hundreds of millions would get the disease and that millions would die. That is the study that destroyed the economy and caused governors throughout the country to require us to wear masks, social distance, and avoid large groups for the first time in our lives. If they'd wanted a legitimate story, they could have looked at cases in states without the face mask requirement to see how many cases they had from April 17th to May 9th. Instead of doing that, they just made numbers up, and the media, like puppets, repeated the bogus numbers to indoctrinate people into wearing masks. Here's some more made-up modeling reports without any kind of scientific fact whatsoever that have destroyed the U.S. economy and forced much of the public to wear face masks, social distance, and gather in small groups for the first time in most of our lives. From Think Global Health, Tom Friedman on March 10th said that based on this particular model, and it was a model that was put together by Cyrus Shapar and Jason Barty, Half the United States population would be infected with COVID-19. More than 1 million people would die. Half the U.S. population would get infected with China virus. More than 1 million would die. There are 300 million people in the United States. Neil Ferguson, who compiled the information to produce the epidemiological model that the Imperial College used, said that 81% of the United States population would be infected, and 2.2 million people would die. Pardon me. Again, we're told that millions would die. Hundreds of millions would get COVID-19. The death projections were over-projected by 1,000%, and cases of infection by an exponential amount as well. So far, 0.6% of the population has tested positive at this point, including people with no symptoms. How many fewer deaths would there have been if idiotic governors like Nipples Cuomo hadn't forced nursing homes to take in people they knew had COVID-19? And he did. He forced them. And because of it, more than 5,000 New Yorkers are dead. Our grandparents, our aunts and uncles, our moms and dads. How many fewer deaths would there be associated with COVID-19 if the CDC didn't politically dictate to medical professionals to count cancer, heart, stroke, lung, diabetes, obesity, kidney, and other deaths as COVID-19 deaths if they happen to get COVID-19? No, we've never made that kind of a mandate with swine flu or any other seasonal coronavirus that we are prey to. How many fewer deaths from suicide, from drug overdose and other causes would we have if these bogus modeling numbers hadn't been used to destroy the economy? Can anyone imagine if millions of people with no symptoms whatsoever went to the doctor or a clinic and demanded that they be tested for the flu? And when medical professionals asked why they wanted to be tested, these people would say, because the media and bureaucrats and politicians are demanding that we be tested because we might be killing people. Well, the medical professionals and the insurance companies would refuse to test, but that's what we're doing now, they are doing, to goose these daily numbers to scare the public. About a month and a half ago, Dr. Burke said that even if we did everything absolutely perfectly, almost perfectly, it was a guarantee that a minimum of 200,000 people would die. And then after that, the media regurgitated a made-up report with no scientific evidence whatsoever that said 200,000 people a day would be testing positive and 3,000 a day would be dying because, heaven forbid, people were going back to work and they were gathering a little bit. These numbers were overestimated by 900% on the cases and 200% on the deaths, but the public was scared into submission. A draft government report that the CDC tried to put out of circulation projected that COVID-19 cases would surge to about 200,000 per day by June 1st. And it hasn't happened. Here's some of the other hoaxes and lies and talking points and propaganda that most of the media and entertainers and bureaucrats have been spreading around, that the mortality rate was much higher than the flu, that kids would spread the disease to grandparents and kill them, that kids at schools were very vulnerable. Schools that remained open are just fine. States that had less strict shutdowns would be a disaster, and those states wanted people to die. And these rates would skyrocket because of the reopening. Well, we're now getting daily reports that states that have reopened and are less restrictive are having huge problems to scare the public. We're told that's why the stock market is plunging. It's not happening. Through June 14th, here's what's going on. We're going to look at four states with very strict lockdown restrictions: New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Michigan. Have a New York State, population of 19.5 million, 31,000 deaths, 31,662 deaths in the last week, 507. New Jersey, 8.9 million, 12,000 deaths in the last 7 days, 449. This last 7 day figure is the one that's important. Illinois, 12.7 million, 6,000 deaths the last 7 days, 404. Michigan, 10 million. Total of 6,016 deaths in the last 7 days, 364. Those are the states with the most restrictive measurements in their lockdown. Florida, population 21.5 million. Deaths, 2,900 in the last 7 days, 231. Texas, population 29 million. Less than 2,000 deaths overall in the last 7 days, 158. Georgia, population 10.6 million. They had a total of 2,400 deaths in the last 7 days, 271. Colorado, 74, 1,300 deaths, and in the last 7 days, 74. All these cases here that we've talked about, Colorado, Georgia, Texas, and Florida, had less restrictions and opened up quicker than the other states. The less restrictive states had better results from the start, including that last 7 days that's not yet in the media story that's being presented, because the facts don't matter. You see it every day, folks. You know people and I know people. You see them on your social media. They've been told to be scared, and by God, they are. They've been programmed to think that the people who somehow want to stand up for their rights and not have them taken away or choose to exercise them are in some way being selfish. And they're eating it up. They're straight out eating it up. Not dead air, just sitting here thinking about it. Something we haven't talked about, and I'm not going to touch on it much because we don't have a whole lot of time. We got about 10 minutes to wrap things up. Hillary Clinton, in September, is going to have to be deposed by Judicial Watch lawyers on some things, not on everything. Her lawyers had presented the argument that she'd already done all this and she shouldn't have to go through it again, and there was no need because of the congressional record and the FBI. The only problem was, I don't think she was under oath in either of those cases, and the judge said, yeah, there are certain questions I don't think they should ask, but there are certain questions that we are going to allow them to ask about those 33,000 completely non-business related emails that you destroyed, along with Blackberries, along with computer hard drives, along with a couple of people, actually. So you're going to have to talk about that. And that's going to happen in September. There's no way out of it. She has to go. She's going to be deposed by these people. What is that going to do? Well, they're going to ask about the emails. That much we know. They're going to confirm what's already been proven. Is, you know, she said not a single one of those things. None of those were work related. None of that was secured stuff. That was not State Department related. It was yoga stuff, yoga stuff, and Chelsea Clinton. Chelsea Clinton's wedding. I saw it was 33,000 basically bullshit emails. Well, it's been found out that about 1,200 of those at a minimum, maybe more, yeah, they were. And this was a server that Hillary Clinton used to communicate with Barack Obama. Okay, so they're passing security stuff, classified stuff, which isn't supposed to be going out over a private server because there are policies and protocols and rules in place. But they did this because it was part of an established underground network of communications, which they could use for who knows what nefarious purposes. And I can guarantee you they were probably pretty nefarious. Not dead air, just thinking it over, dragging it out. Really not much else to talk about. See if we're going to go ahead and wind it up. Now, there are those who think that these demonstrations, these riots, all this stuff was done to occupy the news cycle because this judge ruled that Judicial Watch lawyers would be able to talk to Hillary Clinton. I don't think so. I think she's probably tickled. Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden are probably two of the happiest people on earth right now because nobody's really thinking about them. You know, when we think about Hillary Clinton, we think murderous crook, like we always think. And Joe Biden, we think doddering old fool, which we always think. But they've got to be, you know, thrilled. But again, she's got to be there. She's going to have to put that hand on the Bible, and it's going to burn. It's probably going to hurt. And she's going to have to swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, say help her God. And at this point, what difference does it make? And if she, and we're going to find out. Now, we already know she's a liar. She's a cheat. She's a thief. She's a grifter. She's a con woman. She's a gangster, just like her old man. Power mad, corrupt, greedy grifters. That's all they've ever been all their lives. At the end of this, are we going to see a raincoat draped over her shoulders and, you know, she or draped between her hands to hide the handcuffs? No, probably not. She's not going to get perped walk any more than Slick Willie or Barack Obama or any. That's just, you know, the cynic in me says that. And that would be okay if they sent Clapper and Brennan and Comey's asses to jail. I would be okay. By the way, did you know that in 1976, John Brennan, Comrade John, Johnny Red, voted for the Communist Party USA's presidential candidate, Gus Hall, slobbering Gus Hall? He did. By God, he did. And then he winds up director of the Central Intelligence Agency. How about that? Okay, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and shut it down before I get too ticked off. A conservative's perspective is heard here Tuesdays and Thursdays live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. And we throw in a show every now and then, bored, and I just feel like yanking chains. We do it. We also have a recorded version that goes out like clockwork every Sunday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you ought to be the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. And by the way, guys, I want to thank you while I got a few minutes to wrap up here. We're seeing, and I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to get all uppity about it, but we're seeing an uptick in listenership, and I think that's awesome. And number one, that's you guys. Thank you so very much. Spread the word. I appreciate it. More and more people are listening. And that's good for all of us. Thank you so much for that. So make sure you tell your friends and share the link with some people that you would think about. Hey, you know what? Share it with one of those people that you think you might be able to flip. Let's do that. If all of us, 63 million people, voted for Donald Trump, our friend Gary Benford says if every one of us flips just one, we could heal the nation. Well, I said that, but that's what he means. Yeah, and he's absolutely right. You can look for Gary here twice a month on the Patriot Nation Radio Network starting June 29th, coming up in a couple of weeks with his show Patriot Uprising. Couple hours a week, or a couple hours a night, twice a month. He's going to do two shows a month, and they're going to be blockbusters. Gary is a terrific dude, and we are the infinite gainers for being able to provide him a format to do his thing. I guess that's about it, folks. We'll be here Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It'll be myself and El Guapo. Guapo will be with us riding in at 8 o'clock, as the handsome one always does, for Patriot Nation Radio Live. We'll see you then. God bless you. God bless America. We'll be back here Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. You guys take good care. We'll see you then.